Exodus 23 in your Bibles tonight. Exodus 23 and verse number 24. God speaks to Israel with the statutes and judgments after the giving of the law. And he says in verse number 24, "Thou shalt not bow down to their gods, nor serve them, nor do after their works, but thou shalt utterly overthrow them and quite break down their images. And you shall serve the Lord your God, and he shall bless thy bread and thy water. And I will take away sickness from the midst of thee. And there shall nothing cast their young, nor be barren in thy land. In the number of thy days I will fulfill. I will send my fear before thee, and will destroy all the people to whom thou shalt come. And I will make all thine enemies turn their backs unto thee. I will send hornets before thee, which shall drive out the Hivite, the Canaanite, and the Hittite from before thee. Will not drive them out from before thee in 1 year, lest the land become desolate, and the beasts of the field multiply against thee. By little and little I will drive them out from before thee, until thou be increased and inherit the land. I will set thy bounds from the Red Sea even unto the sea of the Philistines, and from the desert unto the river. For I will deliver the inhabitants of the land into your hand, and thou shalt drive them out before thee. Thou shalt make no covenant with them, nor with their gods. They shall not dwell in thy land, lest they make thee to sin against me. For if thou serve their gods, it will surely be a snare unto thee." Let's pray. Father, as we look into your word, feed us, help us, guide us. Help us to pick up the principles and the truths of your word to apply them to our lives and how we live day by day. The relevance of the word of God is an amazing thing. And as we read it and study it, you speak to our hearts through the word. And you reveal to us the things that we need for our daily lives and the things we need to correct. As we think about observing the Lord's Supper tonight, help us to be a people who turn away from sin, confess our sin to you, and seek thy forgiveness and cleansing. We ask for your help in Jesus' name. Amen. Our walk with God is not to be as our walk in life. Life is hard. It's a battle for the Christian, and it's a spiritual warfare. Not so our walk with God. We should enjoy the journey with God. We should enjoy the fellowship with the Lord. Enjoy the spiritual side of our life. We're like a deep sea diver in this world. We need help from above to survive. We're outside our natural element by living in this world. We're now citizens of heaven, and we're to look for things above. We're to focus on the heavenlies. We're to live as if we are spiritual people. And to live in this world of sin, we need help from above. A deep sea diver needs the air hose and a guideline and all of those things. And that's not his home. He's just there temporarily. And then he's going to be raised up when it's time to come up from below. And in those similarities with us and living in this life and the spiritual side of our lives, that we survive with help from God, and this world's not our home, and one day we're going to be raised up to be with the Lord, and our time here will be over. The scripture says in Colossians chapter 3 and verse 1 and 2 to set your affections on things above, not on the things of the earth. And we need help from above to survive down here, to live daily lives here, to be effective, to not fall into the traps and the pits, to not be influenced by the people around us, as God warned Israel as they went into the land of inheritance that God gave to Abraham and the nation. They were going to have all these 10 tribes of people of the Canaanites that were around them, and they were to not get involved in their idol worship and not get involved in intermarrying with them, because the association with these sinful people would cause Israel to fail also. These people were so sinful that God drove them out of the land, and he warned Israel not to do the things they did or they would suffer consequences as a result. In our walk with God, we need to learn what Israel failed to learn. They were in a battle. They blamed God. They blamed their leader. They blamed the Lord for bringing them out from Egypt and through the wilderness. And And when they had a little bit of problem with water or food, instead of praying and seeking the face of God, they blamed and they murmured and they complained. And we murmur and complain pretty good too, and I'm just as guilty as anybody else. We complain about the weather. We complain about the pollen right now. You know, we see all these beautiful trees and flowers blooming and all that sort of, and we love that part, but we don't like the pollen part. And we like for it to be dry so we don't have to worry about rain, but we need rain now to wash the pollen away and to wet the flowers and the trees. So, you know, we complain it's too hot or we complain it's too cold or whatever it may be. And so like Israel, they complain, but we need to always be careful that we give God praise and thanks for His blessings to us and what we enjoy each day, and to have life and to live it to the fullest. Chapter 23 and verse 24 through 26, first of all, Israel failed to appreciate God wanted them where He could supply their needs. God wanted them to be in the land. It took them 40 years to get there after they got to the edge of it and sent the spies in. And they weren't willing to do what it was going to take by faith, only Joshua and Caleb. And so the spies discouraged the others, and it took them 40 years wandering in the wilderness to get back to this place to go into the land. They were to serve the Lord in the place that He wanted them to be. In this age in which we live, you can't serve the Lord without being associated with the church. This is God's plan. This is the place that we ought to be. And in this, there are many, many ministries that you can fulfill. You can have a ministry outside, among people outside the church and to people outside the church. But you need your association with the church to be strengthened and helped and fed through the Word so that you're equipped then to have your other ministry outside the church to other people. Maybe it's a nursing home, or maybe it's like our folks with BBN and those that work for Billy Graham and ministries like that. They have a job where they work in the ministry, but they're still associated with the church and have involvement in the church as well. Might be teaching a class. It might be some area of service through the church where God wants you to be. And when you get to that place where God wants you to be, when you know, we say when you know you're in God's perfect will for your life, you can enjoy the blessings of the Lord and the provision of God. He promised to take away sickness from them if they would go to this place, if they'd be where He wanted them to be. And we all know that many sicknesses are tied to sin. The more moral a people are, the less sickness and disease they will have. Diseases, heart attacks, strokes, stomach troubles often are connected with sins of the flesh. Lack of immunities, all of these things have a bearing. It doesn't mean that anybody that gets sick has committed a sin. You can get sick just because you're a human being. But God's grace and blessings on His people. Christian people can live in a longevity of blessing because God promised those that obey their parents and those that walk with God can have the blessings and the provisions of the Lord. The days of the wicked shall be cut off. And we see this with these 10 tribes of people that God was driving out of the land, and God was putting them to death because of all their sins, all their wickedness. In Leviticus 18, we looked at previously on a Sunday night, how that all of those sexual sins, homosexuality included, and deviancy and incest and all of those kind of things, God warned Israel not to be guilty of those sins because it was for this reason that He was driving those nations out from before them. So the more moral people are, the less disease and sickness that will probably be in their gene pool. Those things are caused by sinful lifestyle. The closer we walk with God, the more dedicated we can become to Him, the more we'll enjoy our walk with God, and the more separated we'll become. We don't ever get to the point that we're sinlessly perfect, but the longer we're saved, we ought to sin less and less. We ought to have a victory. We ought to have an accomplishment. We ought to have an ability to walk with God and not get down in the gutter in sin on a continual basis. God promised prosperity with their herds and length of days. You notice he said he'd bless their bread and their water. You ever thought about water? I mean, you just take for granted, you go to the water fountain or the water spigot and you turn it on and you get water and you drink it. Where'd it come from? Well, you folks that live out in the country like I do, comes out of a deep ground well, you know, 140 feet deep in the ground. You folks that live in the city, comes out of the Catawba River. Same place TKK spills their sewer. Same place the city of Charlotte dumps in. After, if you knew how toxic Sugar Creek is coming out of Charlotte, and you know where Sugar Creek coming out of Charlotte dumps? Right down the road, right down here on the left, into the Catawba River. City of Rock Hill, they dump in on the other side, Red River. Their treated water from the waste treatment plants go into the river. And then Bowater puts whatever comes out of that paper mill, you know, goes into the river a little farther on down. Then it goes into Fishing Creek, just a few miles down the road, small lake. And we went down there fishing one time, and we saw about 10,000 minnows dead floating on the water. And I said, let's go. Let's pack up and leave. I wouldn't want to eat a fish that come out of here to start with. Well, I want God's blessings on my water, don't you? I want His protection on what I'm eating. I want His protection on what I'm drinking. I want His protection to provide for me. And God has abundantly blessed this nation, and we enjoy. We can go to the cabinet and get food. We can go to the freezer and get food. We can go to the cabinet and open. Last night, my wife went to Walmart and got one of those rotisserie chickens from Walmart, and then she fixed green beans that we had raised and had put up in cans, quart of green beans, and she made some mashed potatoes and some of that Smart Balance butter on the mashed potatoes, and boy, that was a nice meal. You know, it's good eating stuff. And you pray before you eat, Lord, bless this meal, we pray. And, you know, keep us from being harmed by it. Keep us being hurt by it. If you've ever had food poisoning, you know you don't want to eat anything that's bad or rotten or anything like that. And we need God's protection and God's blessing and God's provision. And we quite often take for granted how God protects us and preserves us every day of our lives. And our walk with Him is important that we learn to enjoy. God promised prosperity with their herds. You have to understand something about biblical prosperity and length of days. People in our lifetime would give fortunes to be able to live longer if they're facing death. People are afraid of death, and they would give their fortune to be able to live longer. But God's promise of longevity and prosperity is not always what we think of. It doesn't mean that they would live to be 500 years old. It doesn't mean that they would live in gigantic palaces and mansions. Abraham was one of the wealthiest men of the Old Testament, but he lived in tents. He moved from place to place to place, like what are called Bedouins, you know, and he moved his herds from place to place where they would find pasture and places to graze. And being rich in God's eyes is that we have enough and an abundance. That we have more than we need. Doesn't mean we're going to have the biggest house in town and a stable full of cars and all that sort of thing. I mean, that's the kind of riches that kings have. And yet there's many people in the United States that live like that. One of these days you get somebody that has a boat to take you on a tour out here on Lake Wylie and just look at some of the houses out here on Lake Wylie. And there are just multitudes of houses out there that are in the multiple millions of dollars in those homes. And you start wondering, where does this many people get that much money to build that many houses, you know, and all that sort of thing. That's not necessarily what the Bible's referring to when it talks about God making us rich. We are rich according to the world standard if we've got food on the table and food in the cabinet and an automobile to drive and clothes to put on and we're blessed in our health. We are abundantly rich in God's blessings. The New Testament cautions us as Christians not to develop a love of money. because the love of money is a root of evil in 1 Timothy 6:5. In verse 9 it says, "But they that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare and into many foolish and hurtful lusts, for the love of money is the root of all evil." We must also beware of covetousness in riches, that we want what others have. As Christians, we should learn to enjoy when somebody else has a blessing, rejoice with them. And when somebody weeps, weep with them, and not be covetous of what they have. Money and material things are tools that we can use while we live on this earth. They're not permanent possessions. We're going to leave all these things behind. You know, the things that we have will rust, bust, and collect dust. And one day we're going to leave them all behind. They just make a big pile of ashes. It's building what we're going to have in heaven that's more important. God told Joshua to meditate in God's Word day and night and obey what was written therein, and then God would make his way prosperous and he would have good success. That didn't mean he was going to be the head of the stock market or anything like that. He was certainly blessed abundantly by God. He lived a long, full life until an old age, and he was a leader, and he inherited land in Israel, and he was blessed of the Lord. And we usually are very blessed abundantly ourselves. Secondly, in verse number 27, God promised them safety from their enemies. What enemies do you have today? Well, we have the enemies of criminals. We have an enemy of disease. We have the enemy of other nations. A lot of folks thought Russia was kind of gone, you know, wasn't an enemy anymore. Kind of rattling the sword again, isn't it? We've got enemies. The terrorists of the extreme Muslim groups that have shown themselves suicide bombers and all that sort of thing. The same God that protected Israel can protect you today. Same God protects the church as protected the nation of Israel. And we live so God will protect us. We say, "God bless America." Well, God help America to be blessable. God help me to be blessable. God help me to live so God can bless me and so that I can be a blessing to others as well. But those who turn from the straight and narrow path may find chastening from the Lord. And chastening is God withdrawing His provision and withdrawing His protection and allowing us to reap what we have sown. And God does this as discipline from a loving Father, not to harm us, but to draw us to repentance, to draw us back to Him, to draw us back to the place of blessing and enjoying in our walk with God. Thirdly, in verse number 31, the reminder is that there are boundaries that we're not to cross. In our walk with God and our obedience to Him, the blessings and provision and protection. But if we disobey and cross the boundaries in disobedience, there are enemies out there that will rob us of our blessings and our provision and our peace and our prosperity. You remember the story of the prodigal son? How he wanted his inheritance right now while he was a young man? Now, can you imagine in your mind this fellow thought he could handle it? You know, if I get my portion of the wealth, I'll be able to handle it. I'll go out here and live, and I'm going to enjoy life, and I'll have money. You know, it'll set me up. You know, in today's thinking, I'll start a business. You know, I'll have plenty of money. I'll be a success and all that sort of thing. But what happened to him? He went off in riotous living and wasted his substance. It didn't take very long until he didn't have anything. He lost what he had. Some enemies robbed him of his wealth. The enemies of his own desires. The enemies of living in riotous living. And then he got to the place where he was so broke that he had to take a job feeding hogs. And that wasn't a place for a Jew to be to start with. And then secondly, he was so hungry he was going to eat from the slop that they fed the hogs. And that's bad stuff. That's bad stuff. And so he went home and repented and went to his father, and he found his father loving and forgiving and blessed him abundantly. The longer we walk with God, the more separated from sinful things we should become. The more we should see them for what they are, the robbers of prosperity. When we go out on visitation, we go to homes and there's a pile of beer cans out by the door. and those folks live in an adverse situation, their automobile looks like it's about to fall apart, and they won't help paying their power bill or whatever it may be, they don't have any milk for their kids, but they got money to buy alcohol. And some have money to buy methamphetamines and drugs and all that sort of thing. Do you see where that enemy is robbing them of their prosperity? If they just had a decent job and worked and saved their money, they could have a much better life than they're going to have getting involved in that kind of thing. And as we grow, we get separated from the world and closer to God. We can enjoy His blessings and His provision and His protection from the enemies that are out there. When you enjoy those things, you can enjoy your journey with the Lord. Let's stand together, please. Father, we love You and we thank You for Your grace and Your mercy. As we pause for a moment in this invitational time, help all of us who are about to partake of the Lord's Supper to think about our life today. This is Sunday, a new day. It is the first day of the week. You've given us a brand new opportunity. You've said in Your Word that Your mercies are new every morning. And so, Lord, deal with us today in newness. We confess our sins to You as a people. Lord, as a nation, we are a sinful people. And we ask for Your help. I pray for this congregation of folk that we'll think about our lives and confess our sin and turn away from it and ask Your forgiveness and seek to live for You in sincerity and truth tonight, that we might enjoy the blessings of God and the protection of God and enjoy the remembrance of Christ's death until He comes again. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.